This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in the NFL. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Cowboy. We're heading into a big week here. We're recording very late this week, unfortunately. Cowboy's life schedule got in the way this week. But we're heading into week 9, so we've already played one game Thursday night, so we're recording this on Saturday. I'm joined, as always, by the real brains behind this operation, John D'Amato. What's up, John?
Cowboy, all right. You survived Halloween and a bunch of other fright fests, and glad you made it. No bye weeks. We don't take no bye weeks.
No bye weeks. So, you know, I apologize in advance for the listeners who are going to have to squeeze this in tomorrow morning before the London game. So that's what we expect out of you listeners. We want podcast on at 8, London game at 9:30. How's that sound, John?
Yeah, we got to do a little bit of marketing. Get it during the week so people can listen during the work. Now we're going to have to ask them to listen during their free time.
All right, so why don't we get right to it? First, John, we had a game last night. We had the undefeated San Francisco 49ers going to Arizona. And the Cardinals really made a game of this, especially offensively. The Cardinals, with their new addition, Kenyon Drake, running wild, probably had the best offensive performance of anyone as the against the Niners. But the Niners were able to hold on. Arizona's defense at the end forced, was it three or four third downs and couldn't get a stop? They just needed a stop to get the ball back. But real encouraging performance from Garoppolo. Garoppolo really played it by far his best game of the season. I know Arizona's defense isn't great, but with that defense, they're going to be good no matter what. But I think for them to really, really be dangerous and really be like that Super Bowl contender, they need him to play well. And this was a real step in the right direction. What do you think?
Yeah, so surprising that Arizona hung in there. But looking at the record, they had mentioned that Arizona beat us Arizona 8 times in a row. Of course, it's a different team and different coach, but they kind of had their number for 49ers over the year, and they kept it close. I was surprised at the offense Arizona displayed. 49ers maybe took them a little lightly. They gave up that big play at the end to Isabella.
That was a hell of a throw.
Yeah, and they gave up the play, you know, a lot to Kenyon Drake. 49ers probably took it a little lightly, but that's the mark of a good team. They made the plays when they had to, and an offense there, they relied more on Jimmy G, and he had one of his best games.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I think we had some questions about them. And with these last two performances, so we obviously haven't talked since last week. And last week, we're both all in on the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm surprised. We should be canceled after that. That was an embarrassing display.
One of those games. I mean, the Niners really, really like kind of set themselves apart in that game. And to your point, this was a prime letdown spot. It's always difficult playing on Thursday night. It's a division game. It's on the road. And it was close. All the things where, you know, if you're going to have a slip-up, this could be the slip-up, and they fought through it, and they got the W. So I think you kind of have to say they're really your Super Bowl front-runner in the NFC right now.
Yeah, me especially, kind of thought they were like a fluky, but now they're starting to turn, because especially they can get that consistent, they get that consistent pass rush just about every down, and they don't need to do it with blitz with Bosa and that crew. When you get that's the key to the success.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so looking at the schedule this week, John, a little better than last week. At least for me, game of the week is Sunday night, where we have the undefeated Patriots heading to a house of horrors for them at Baltimore. In the Belichick-Brady era, Baltimore has given them more problems than any other team, except maybe the Giants. So Baltimore, Harbaugh and Baltimore have really always played the Patriots tough. The game's in Baltimore. Baltimore is coming off a bye week. I'm going to come out and say it, John. I like the Ravens in this one. I picked the Ravens. I'm a big Patriots fan. I don't think they're going to go 16-0. I think this is the week they lose. I think the mobile quarterback, the uber mobile quarterback that Lamar Jackson is, I think is going to give them fits. And I like Baltimore in a close one here.
Wow. I was going to just be contrarian and go with Baltimore, but I'm going to stick with the other way. first time quarterbacks against Bill or what? Or like 0-69 or
this is true.
Something like that. So yeah, I'm not gonna go against the hoodie on this one. I think they'll come up with something to slow down Jackson's running game, and the way that Pats defense they'll get a couple. They've been very lost in us. They'll get a couple key turnovers. And they'll have just enough offense. I would worry about the kicking game, though. We got rid of Nugent, and they signed Nick Folk, and there seems to be a revolving door there. Yeah, that's another ex-Jet. They didn't have much luck with Nugent, so it's really surprising that there's lack of kickers out there available. I bet that.
Yeah, well, the Falcons cut Matt Bryant too. You saw that. They brought it back. Young Hoku.
I bet they're hoping that they wish that Vinatieri followed through on his threat to retire, like after week two when he had the first couple weeks, and that would have been something if they brought him. If he had,
what would be better yes. than him kicking the game-winning field goal in the Super Bowl for the Patriots on his way out the door? Yeah. Poetic, right? It would be poetic. So, I think he can run a little bit on the Patriots. I mean, their schedules. I think they're a very, very good team. Their schedule's been very easy. Cleveland hung in there. Well, Cleveland ran on them, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Chubb ran wild, other than the fumbles.
Fumbles. Yeah,
and then even the week before, I mean, with Bell, they killed the Jets, and the Jets had to stop running. But I mean, when they ran on him. And Baltimore's whole offense is really predicated on the run, and it's not just Jackson, right? It's Mark Ingram as well, and.
Yep.
I feel like they can do some work in the running game. And again, it's just more of a hunch in that there's some history there. And I really don't think – I mean, as a Pats fan, I don't really want them to go 16-0. I still have –
Yeah, you don't want them to go 18-0. You don't want them to go 18-1 again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I remembered.
All right. That was a cheap shot. Sorry.
One of the – oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. That was – I can legitimately say that night was like one of the five worst nights of my whole life.
That's so sad.
Oh, it's awful. I lived in Phoenix at the time. I didn't have the money for a ticket, thank God. But the game was in Phoenix. I was about 5 minutes from the stadium, and I was just in a room full of people rooting against the Patriots, and I did not think there was any way in hell they were going to lose. And they lost, and then I had to listen to it, and it was just the way they lost with that fucking ridiculous catch.
I feel bad that one of the worst nights of your life was one of the best nights of mine.
I know. Well, that's the only saving grace, you know?
Yeah. But, but you guys know more than anybody to go through it. For any fans of any team, it's the past I could care less about going undefeated. It wouldn't be a big deal. You guys just want to win that last one.
Right. And I think the undefeated thing makes it more difficult to win the Super Bowl. So I think this game's going to be a little more high scoring too than the Patriots other games. Their defense has been great, and I think they probably will force a turnover or two. But I really, really, I really believe that Baltimore is going to be able to move the ball and score, and I know that the Patriots are going to be able to move the ball and score on Baltimore. So I think you could have one of those kind of prototypical, you know, big play sort of Sunday night games. I think it's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Sanu kind of eased his way into it, only had two catches, but I look for Sanu to do a little more, get a little more action, a little more plays called for him. Maybe possibly a little some trick action. He was an ex-quarterback. He was a quarterback in college Rutgers.
Yeah.
Look for something there. Maybe the hoodie's going to pull one of his tricks out of his sleeve. But if not Bill, then the other side, Harbaugh always has something in store for the Pats. Or Harbaugh will do like a crazy two-point try out of nowhere where it's unwarranted. But still, he's been he's been having luck with his little off the wall kind of decisions.
They're a good team, and I am in the camp where I believe Lamar Jackson is special. Like, I think he's a special talent. I think he doesn't get mentioned.
I would put him up there as an MVP candidate.
Oh yeah,
top three, top five. I mean, we still got a long way to go in the season.
Rodgers is making a heck of a push, but like out of that draft class, I think if they redid the draft today, I think he would probably go first. Right? I mean, you had the five quarterbacks. Right? It was Baker, Darnold, Jackson, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen. And he went fifth out of five. And I think if you redid it today, he would go number one.
Yeah, he's on pace for 1,000 yards rushing, too.
He's not like an RG3 who's taking a bunch of hits. Like, he's smart. He's like a combo of, like, Russell Wilson and RG3. Like, he's a phenomenal runner, but he doesn't take, like, a bunch of huge shots. And he's just so fast, too. He's good at, like, getting down and avoiding the hits. I mean, he's really good. So,
yeah, the Pats D has done a good job versus the tight ends. Andrews is his number one target. So,
yeah, I don't think they're going to throw that much. I think it's going to be a lot of like read options and dump offs to the backs. Uh-huh. I mean,
got Engram and also got Edwards too. And,
the bus
mix it up.
And Justice Hill. Gus. So,
yep,
we're going to see. It's going to be a good one. So, speaking of Sanu. You know, I hope he plays well because my favorite Patriot, Josh Gordon, was let go and signed in Seattle today, which is a nice landing spot. I mean, they're another – he went from one good situation to another team with, you know, playoff, if not Super Bowl aspirations. So I think he'll slot in nicely there and give Wilson another weapon.
Yeah. He's got a good solid coaching staff there with Pete Carroll and – in there, so, but you never know with whatever you got going on, whether it's physical or other stuff. We just hope for the best.
Correct. Same. All right. Looking at the schedule here, get a couple of other good ones. So, well, what do you think?
How about the big playoff rematch, the big double doink rematch from last year, the Bears and Eagles.
Oh man. This is definitely a loser go home game, I think, right? Like they're both kind of both reeling.
I don't think so. I don't think Dallas is going to run away from the Eagles, so although the Eagles made a good stand last week versus Buffalo where
That's true. Yes. So
every time you kind of count them out, they kind of pull you back in.
For Chicago, yeah. This is I mean, that what a terrible we should talk about Bears Chargers. I know, like, I wish we would have recorded earlier while it was still fresh in everybody's mind, but we were messaging each other during that game. And I mean, talk about like you just these two like cursed teams. Like no like it was like nobody wants to win. It's like fuck up after fuck up. It had to end with the Bears fucking missing a field goal.
But as usual, Pinheiro bails out the coach and the quarterback and the lousy quarterback because they botched that end of that first half. That was a disaster. The end of the first half, where they had on the 1 yard line and they just botched like three plays and eventually they had to settle for a field goal. So, but just like last year with Cody Parkey, you know. Now that you know, Bears fans are gonna blame Pinheiro, but they got serious issues with their coach and quarterback. But at least Nagy learned. He tried to establish the run, and it worked out for him most of the game. But and also, their defense is great, but they're not the '86 Bears. They do give up touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Where you know if you want to be like the old '86 Bears, they wouldn't give up any touchdowns. They would clamp it down. So they did allow a touchdown for Rivers to pull ahead by the 1 point.
Right, and I mean Trubisky was just terrible again. I mean just god awful, and you got to hope the kid figures it out because I mean it's not looking good right now.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, the coach did the right thing. He tried to establish the run, and but still, it didn't help. It didn't help. Trubisky is just struggling.
Absolutely.
I don't think it gets any better this week in Philly.
You gotta like Philly. The Eagles at home, right? I mean,
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I go especially like the way home. You know the Eagles are like kind of are a real bad matchup for the Bears in that the Eagles' run defense is basically like the best in the whole NFL. And you can throw on them like nobody's business, but when the other team's got a quarterback that can't really throw, that kind of takes that advantage and throws it out the window. So, I like Philly. Yeah, I like Philly by a decent amount in this game.
And the way Philly played bully ball, they just dominated the Bills front four. They took over on the ground. Because the first half, Buffalo was leading and pretty much dominating the game. And Brandon Graham made a huge. Strip fumble off the yep. off the running back, and that kind of turned the game around. And then Philly just took over at the their offensive line just took over the game, and they kept it on the ground. So I look for them to dominate and win pretty easy here.
Vikings at Chiefs.
We still don't know the we still don't know the status of Mahomes. Wow,
he's not
going to
play. I don't think he's going to play.
The Chiefs lost three in a row, and it's looking like a. Looking like it could be a fourth, and with that, they'll still be in first.
They didn't play bad against the Packers. I mean, it was just, I think it's kind of like what we talked about, where, Matt Moore played fine. I thought Matt Moore played better than I thought he was going to. It's just that Chiefs defense. Do you know what I mean, John? That Chiefs defense just gives it up. And if you don't have Mahomes... Like, it's just like they just have to score 30 points to win. Like, I actually think the Vikings are a worse matchup for them than the Packers because you can score on the Packers' defense. The Vikings have a better defense than the Packers. And their offense, like, it's, you know, some good defenses can give Cousins problems, but this is, like, screams one of those games where Cook just runs wild and, you know, Thielen may or may not play, but even without him, like Diggs, they don't have anybody to cover Diggs. And it's just, I mean, I see a very similar game to the Packers-Chiefs game. And then I think Kansas City will probably score 21, and I think they'll probably lose by 10. That's kind of where my head's at here.
Yeah, I tend to agree, too. The Vikings defense will at least force them to kick a couple field goals. And I don't see the Chiefs... getting too many stops.
The only
success was when they had a couple blitzes from Spagnuolo or created a little pass rush. They disturbed Rodgers a little bit, but otherwise not so much. But they did force Rodgers to make a play that only like he makes for
that
last touchdown.
Yeah, well, he admitted that's not who he was throwing it to.
Yeah.
He admitted to the, I think it was whoever was standing in front, was it Jimmy Graham, that he was flipping it up to Jimmy Graham. He said he didn't even see Williams. I mean, that was an absolutely incredible play.
Yeah, just to get that off with that velocity is. Yeah, that's only a play that a couple guys could make.
Right, and Rodgers is dialed in right now. I mean, he's playing some of his best football in a couple of years. It's, you know, making me a believer in the Packers, but. The thing with the Chiefs, you get the feeling like that Mahomes, like if he had to play, could play. But to your point, John, even if they lose, right? Even if they lose and the Chargers and Raiders both win, they still have a game lead in the division and they're getting Mahomes back. And I mean, none of these other teams in that division like look like they're going to go not even 9-7, right? I mean, like, so why rush him back? If you lose, you lose. It's more important to have him healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder if they'll even keep him another couple of weeks and then keep him out through the bye.
Well, their bye is not till week 12. Like that.
Yeah, they got two more games. But that's I wonder tough. If they figure they'll get one of at Tennessee or at the Chargers. If they figure they'll get one of those and then. Just gear up for Mahomes for the last five.
I think he's pushing to play next week. I think he'll play next week. That's my prediction. Yeah. But if they win, if they beat the Vikings, then you can, you know, maybe you do think about sitting them down. But I don't think that's going to happen. But it should be good. No matter what, it should be good.
But we're both on the Vikings.
Did I tell everybody we're recording on Saturday at the beginning of this?
Yeah, you said the
listening sorry, guys.
Morning with the Sunday
sorry, guys.
Friday. That's all right.
It has been a I just realized I said that. It has been the Cowboys had a long day, as Mr. D'Amato can attest to. I've changed the time that we were going to record about 17 times. I kind of started in the morning, and I forgot that today is Friday, so you will have an extra day to listen, to listen to the podcast. I forgot that I work today. That's how long of a day it's been. But so you get all day Saturday, guys. No excuses.
All right, let's get into your Panthers, yeah. Titans and Panthers, which is going to be a sneaky good game, I think.
Yeah, it should be a defensive game. I like the Panthers to bounce back in a big way here. The Titans are kind of like a team that the Panthers own. I don't really know what happened in that 49ers game. I mean, it's just they
happened.
Got punched
yeah.
in the mouth. They're down 14-0 before you blink. That's not a good situation for a Kyle Allen, right? I mean,
yeah,
game
that,
manager,
that's
yada
exactly.
yada.
I think Kyle Allen got exposed a little. That he's come in. He's more of a game manager. I don't think he's not really a playmaker. You know, for the people willing to rush Cam Newton out of town, I think if Cam was there, they would have a better chance to beat some of these teams. And I think it's going to continue. The slide's going to continue. The Titans are going to get this one. They're going to expose Allen even further.
The Titans, huh? On the
yeah,
road?
This is one of those games where...
I mean, they're like a team. They can beat anybody, but they're both kind
you don't
of like
You
that,
don't
though.
Expect them to. And then they'll lose one at home that when everybody picks them. So, but this is one they're going to steal.
I mean, they've been better with Tannehill.
Yeah, with Tannehill, surprisingly.
It's still Tannehill. It's still Tannehill, but I think I talked about this last week. I think the way that team has played with him is like a huge indictment on Mariota and his like viability as a starting quarterback. Like I think because Tannehill is like barely. I mean, he is by all accounts, everything he's shown you in his career. He is like, if there's 32 starters, he is like in that 27 to 32 range. And for him to take over and for there to be like, I mean, it's like a different team. I mean, the offense is the offense for, compared to what it was with Mariota, and the offense is cranking. I mean, they, you know, there's a nice win in Tampa, right? I mean, I'm sorry, in Tennessee, but a nice win against Tampa.
Yeah, they got a gift, though.
two of them. At the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Jameis gives it up.
No, but I'm talking about the ref gif with that fake where they fumbled and they blew the whistle.
Oh, yeah, the punter, right? They did
the fake field goal. Yeah.
Vrabel did the fake field goal, but it was the punter who was the holder, right? Kern?
Yeah.
And then he just got destroyed, and they blew the whistle. Yeah,
that's not all they blew, yeah.
Little home cooking, you know. But then Jameis gave it to him, too, because if you looked at the beginning of that game, after the first quarter, I think the Bucs had like 200 yards, and the Titans had about 20, and it was 14-3 Titans from Winston turning it over twice inside his own 20-yard line, so... But I can see that pick, John. I'm not gonna be mad at you for it. I'm not gonna be, but I disagree. But I can see where, you know, I mean, that's gonna, you know, you throw in like Tannehill right into the MVP conversation with that, right? Three wins.
Yeah, I just think I need to slow down on the Kyle Allen Express.
I think it's slowed. I think it came to a grinding halt. I mean, that was an ugly loss, and he played pretty bad.
Yeah, they ran into that 49er machine, that 49er pass rush.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in the Panthers defense didn't show up. Like we talked about it and figured it was going to be kind of a low scoring game because you have two really good defenses, two offenses that had been so, and you had one defense show up and the other one didn't, and that was that. But we'll see. They came out today that Cam's probably not going to be healthy for at least another few weeks, if at all, this season, which you can almost stick a – I love him. I love the Panthers, but it's tough to not say you can almost stick a fork in him if he doesn't come back.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. They don't even know what's going on, and they're being coy about it. So.
Foot injuries can be really tricky. Like, I mean, after what I read today, I mean, my best guess would be that he probably doesn't play again this season.
Yep.
That's my best guess. Because they don't want to put him out there like we talked about last week. They don't want to put it. He's not like a Brady or somebody that you can put out there if he can't move. You know what I mean? I mean, his game's predicated on his legs.
All right, doctor. We'll see how that goes. But I tend to agree with you. They're talking Liz Frank. They don't really know what's going on, so it doesn't look good.
And then, so what else we want to talk about, John? A little Houston, Jacksonville.
Let's go to London. Let's go to London Sunday morning tea. Let's have a little spot of tea and talk about what's going on in London. The first game was won by the Texans.
It was.
So in this kind of series where both teams usually hover around mediocrity, that usually means the other one's going to go the other way to the Jaguars.
Do you think the Jaguars try to bring Bortles in for the London game?
That's where he was.
he was amazing. You should look up his stats in London. He's phenomenal. But
tough on Houston. They lost. Watt went out again for the year. That's going to be a tough one. They may have to make a tough decision on that because he's going to be up about $20 million for the next couple of years, and that's going to be a real tough decision because he's like the friggin' mayor of Houston and everything. He helps people do a hurricane aid and all that stuff. But they may have to give the keys to the franchise over to Watson and might have to tell Watt to find something else to save that money because it's a big cap hit.
You wonder if he might be the kind of guy who's willing to do a team friendly deal. You know what I mean? He kind of strikes you as that type.
Yeah, they need to change the culture there and build a team around Watson and the offensive line and et cetera.
The Raiders gave them a good game last week. That play by Watson was absolutely incredible. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Where he got hit in the eye and still threw the touchdown pass. Like, I mean, what a play! And that was a game that was right there for the Raiders too. And I think that's a game that maybe like last year the Texans lose. So I was actually pretty impressed with that win. With that said, I'm kind of with you here, John. I like Jacksonville in this game. I like the Jacksonville pass offense against that. Sieve-like Houston Texans pass defense. I think DJ Shark gets loose. I actually think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring, fun game to watch. But I like the stash to pull it out.
Minshew magic, yeah. I'm gonna lean towards the Jags.
But really, like if you're anyone who's like a betting person and you bet on this game, you got some sort of problem. Because who the hell knows, right? I mean, really, who the hell knows? These are two of like those like the Titans. It's just like they can any day they can beat anybody or lose to anybody.
Yep.
What do you think of so that the Bengals benching Andy Dalton? They've already announced it, but after their bye week, they're gonna bench Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it's about 5 years too late.
That's what I think. And like, why do it in the middle of the season? And you got this kid, right? Like, you're gonna throw him in there.
They want to see what they have in Finley because they're going to be in
the top pick.
Yeah. So they want to see if this kid Finley can play. Then maybe they could. Because I don't think it's automatic anymore that Tua is going to be the first pick in the draft. He's been very brittle. He's already getting hurt in college. Yeah. So I don't know if and also this Chase Young from Ohio State's emerging as like a Bosa-type pass rusher that could really turn the team around. So if they got something in this guy Finley, they may look towards Chase Young or a pass rusher as their top pick.
So what do you make of the trade deadline with the Jets? That was the big talk where the Jets, so it looks like they shopped Bell, then they did they shop Adams? Did they not shop Adams? Adams was pissed. My feeling is that it seems like the real center of their issues is Gase, and it might just be time to admit that it was not a good hire and just move on. Like, Darnold's regressed, the whole team's rebelling. I mean, they're like a super dumpster fire right now. And yeah, just what are your thoughts there in New York? You're close to the action.
Well, I'm close to the action. So everything you hear is that pretty much the GM, and that's his boy. So I don't see how Douglas and Gase are tight.
Right.
So I don't see how the Gase gets that in, and Douglas moves into somebody else. So.
What if they lose to Miami?
This season's already shot, so it's
true. Know. I think Gase might ruin Darnold forever if he based on what I've seen so far. But very unexciting trade deadline. You had all these names talked about, and then nobody got moved.
Jamal Adams really took a lot of heat from the New York press when he said, you don't trade Aaron Donald and you don't trade Brady. He kind of put himself in a lofty status.
He put himself in a lofty status. I mean, he's really good. I mean, he is,
but as a safety, you can't control the game like those impact players.
Right, and I mean, Aaron Donald's two-time defensive, obviously. He's the best. Aaron Donald's probably the best player in football, and Brady's the best quarterback of all time. So you don't want to put yourself up there with those.
Hopefully for the Jets, it's a microcosm. It's a lot like the situation the Giants had with Collins, where he was their best player and best defender. But eventually, the Giants realized you can't pay a safety $15 million. And also, because he was like one of the few guys that was any good, it kind of got to his head, and he ran his mouth a little too much. And instead of being a team leader, kind of went the other way. So hopefully the same thing doesn't happen with Adams.
I know, and they took him so high in the draft too. You know, that makes it even tougher to walk away.
Yeah, and also that they traded Leonard Williams, and pretty much all their top draft picks on the defense haven't worked out.
And so, the other news from the trade deadline or non-news was, like, how do the Redskins not trade Trent Williams? What could they possibly see that makes them think that he's ever going to want to play for them? I mean, he's come out and said he's not going to play for them. And now you have this story where they like misdiagnosed a growth that ended up being cancerous. Like, what a shit show that organization is. They could have gotten a first round pick for him. You know, like, I mean, the Patriots offered a first round pick earlier in the year. Instead, you hold on to him for no reason.
I have no words for. I don't know what goes on in the Redskins. As a Giant fan, we got our own problems with management and stuff like that. But that's that's a different type of mismanagement. Whether he was healthy enough to play or to be traded to not get anything for him. I don't know what that organization is doing.
Snyder makes the Giants management look like Warren Buffett. I mean, it's and that's another quarterback that's going to be ruined. Haskins, poor guy, never had a chance. He's starting this week, right, at Buffalo.
Yeah,
I think Buffalo wins that game by about 35.
Not to be repetitive, but that's they're paying a cornerback and a safety about between them about $35 million a year, and then they don't exactly have a dominant defense.
No, and I mean of all the teams that shouldn't be doing that. I mean, it's not like they paid Landon Collins like they were one player away. Away from fucking 3-13.
And Norman's just about done. So yeah.
Oh, he's all. He used to have the mouth and the game to back it up. Now it's just the mouth.
Redskins.
We got other stuff going on too. So we had Denver. We had Denver in week 8 playing playing a tight game at Indianapolis. They're ahead the whole game. The whole game. They got them. They got them. They got them. And they get, like, super conservative at the end. They run on third and five to make Indy blow the timeout. They don't go for it. And Indy predictably comes down and kicks a field goal to win. Joe Blow popped off a little bit after the game, right? Said we need to be more aggressive. I'm no Flacco supporter, but he was right. And then boom, boom, hit squad or something out on him. Now he's out for like the rest of the season with a neck injury.
And here comes Brandon Allen. But
here comes Brandon Allen.
As bad as the Broncos have been, they could be they lost like three games just like that.
And it took a
terrific play by Brissett.
That was an incredible play.
The pass to Hilton. That's only we talk about it all the time. That's only a play that only a few quarterbacks can make in that upper echelon. But if you want to put him up there, then you know he shouldn't have put his team in that position. Maybe he should get to help them score more than 12 points before that, so it wouldn't come down to that. And not only that, after that, they didn't really gain any yards. The rest was all on Broncos penalties, dumb penalties.
And that's just – it's kind of the type of team –
they barely squeaked by to get in field goal range, yeah.
It's kind of the type of team the Colts are, though, right, where they're in low-scoring games. And they've been pulling them out, and there's teams like that every year. And I do believe in Jacoby. I think he's going to keep getting better.
Yeah, me too. But I think this week they're going to – T.Y. is out versus the Steelers, and I think I'm going to lean towards the Steelers this week.
Ooh, the Steelers are – I mean, I don't know. I guess running back isn't a huge position, but, I mean, Connor's not playing. Mason Rudolph, I thought – I mean, I guess they got it together a little bit. He was fucking awful at the beginning of that Miami game. Like, I mean, just standing back there like a statue for 10 seconds.
Gave Miami a lot of hope, and – yeah, Miami bailed them out, and there was about 30 seconds left, that third and 20, and they just decided, we're not going to cover Johnson. And
I mean, it looked like they lost the game on purpose. I mean, there was only 20 seconds left in the half. Third and 20 from, like, the midfield with 20 seconds left in the half. How do you give that up? How do you – they came with a jailbreak blitz.
Yeah.
They came with a jailbreak blitz and left three guys back. It's like they did it on purpose, right? I mean,
but Miami has been playing. You look at all the games; they've hung in there in all the first halves of all the games.
They are playing better. I think there's a good chance they get their first win this week. I mean, I wouldn't surprise me at all if they beat the Jets.
Between the Jets twice and they play like the Giants, they're gonna win a game or two. I don't think they'll.
I like Indianapolis because Rudolph. I don't think he's very good, and I think he's gonna make mistakes. And Indy's not the Dolphins. You can't. Indy is the kind of team that if you turn the ball over a couple of times, you're probably gonna lose. So.
Without T.Y. Hilton, I think the offense is really gonna struggle, and there may be a. Maybe a rough weather situation this Sunday in Pittsburgh, so I'm going to lean towards the Steelers.
Yeah, it should be a good game. It's your kind of game, John. Should be a slobber knocker.
Yeah, love it.
And then Cleveland is at Denver. You think Cleveland could go on the road and win?
Talk about drama. Well, we're playing against the quarterback. Then this is Cleveland. Their schedule finally lightens up, and boy, they need it because, geez, what a – can we stop the drama in Cleveland?
They did not. I mean, you could see it was kind of like a microcosm of their season, the game against the Patriots, because they moved the ball. I mean, they should have been in the game.
They hung in there.
Mistake, 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 mistake. That fucking 4th-and-11 thing. Oh, my God. Kitchens is awful.
That was a unique decision by the coach. I mean, the game was lost.
It wasn't. I mean, you got to have some self awareness. Like he's been getting killed all year, right? Like just for being a moron. And no, really. Like, and I mean, to bring the punt team out, 4th-and-11, bring the punt team out. Have them intentionally take a penalty to make it 4th-and-16, and then bring the offense back out to go for it. I mean, you're down 17 with 2 minutes left. Just punt it before you do that, because then he's gonna get. Then he gets up and says it. Yeah, we didn't want to spend the timeout. I mean, it's like, what? Get your head out of your ass. I mean, it's, really, like anyone who's ever played a game of Madden would know. I mean, you're down 17. You have to get two onside kicks anyway. Take the fucking timeout or just go for it.
Ugh. Yeah. Maybe he just wanted to take the heat off his underperforming players, like his supposedly star, top five, whatever, receiver who, if you take away that meaningless touchdown versus the Jets at 89 yards, he'd be like below the top 50 receivers, just no production whatsoever. And this is a guy, wasn't he complaining that Eli Manning was holding him back? And how does his stats look now this year?
The Baker experience. I mean, yeah.
I noticed he came to his defense because, you know, Baker had a little thing with the press, and Odell actually came to his defense. Wow, maybe he's growing up. Instead of throwing your quarterback under the bus, come to your quarterback's defense.
I mean,
that's nice.
Beckham would look like a total asshole if he came and said anything negative about the quarterback. I mean, he's dropping passes.
Thank you.
I mean, that was a big third down play. I mean, it was a great throw.
Those Giant fans, we've been seeing that for years. All the casual fans that don't watch the Giants, you see the highlights, the one-handed catches, the big touchdowns, but you don't see stuff like that. We've been seeing that for years. Those are like turnovers when you make a big drop on a third down. And then after the game, he says, oh, well, you know, there wasn't too many plays run for me, and I pretty much caught everything that went my way. Yeah, pretty much, except for a third down drop that, you know, in a key part of the game. He never takes responsibility.
Yeah, John, I mean, I think, is he your least favorite player in the league?
Yes, and I guess that's the Beckham rant segment for this week. I hate to say I told you so, only because when the Giants made the trade, I caught a lot of ridicule. The Giants don't know what they're doing, but that's like about the one good move the Giants have done. That and letting go of Collins, two good moves.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he hasn't been very good. You would think it would be good for Mayfield to have a guy like that, but, I mean, they've just regressed overall. I mean, it seems like Mayfield's connection with Landry is still better. Like, Landry...
Yeah, it's because Odell, he never bothered to show up to minicamp. He doesn't practice. Same thing this week. He's been out of practice, hurt.
It's like they're building the chemistry during the game.
Yeah, during minicamp, you know, he's got to go to the ESPYs, tape and ballers and shit like that. He didn't have time to build any rapport with. He doesn't, you know, he just cares about, he wants to be a star. He doesn't want to be a winning football player. All right, that's enough.
So do you like them to beat Brandon Allen? Do you think Brandon Allen will be worse than Flacco?
With all that, the Broncos are in shittier shape than they are, and I think I like the Browns. I've never seen Brandon Allen play, I like the Browns to pull
it. I like the Browns too, John. I think you pick the Browns every week just because you feel bad about destroying Odell every week.
Yeah,
you destroy Odell
them,
and then pick the Browns.
To win a wild card. Their schedule softens. I still think they might get to 8-8, 9-7.
You want my upset for the week?
All right, let's hear it.
I think the Chargers are going to beat the Packers.
I was hoping you'd say Giants over Cowboys.
I can't pick that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, meaning it's not going to happen. Yeah.
I like, even though it's going to be like a Packers home game.
The Chargers to win two in a row. Wow.
Yeah, I still think they're like my Browns, John, for you.
They got a gift. Yeah, the Chargers got
a gift. But I think they're still like a talented team who just like has not put it together. And I just... You know, I feel like they're going to win this one. We'll see. I don't have a lot of rationale for it, except I think you can run on Green Bay, and the Chargers have two very good running backs. Yeah,
I agree with you on that. The Packers defense, which I praised during the year, but they're starting to show some holes.
And I think Joey Bosa can get to Rodgers a little bit and make him uncomfortable. And I think the Chargers, they just needed to get a win. As ugly as that win was, they just needed to get a win. And I think if anyone's going to give the Chiefs a run in that division, it's them. And if that's going to happen, they got to win this game. So, God damn it, they're going to win this game.
I'm going the other way with the Packers. I think the Chargers got some banged up on defense still. Derwin James.
He's done. Is out. Yeah.
And
Ingram, so, right? Ingram's.
I'm sticking with the Packer machine. Rodgers is his band of misfit receivers, Kumro, et cetera. He just says, hey, whatever your name is, just get open and I'll get you the ball.
Well, Davante Adams is coming back, so that's helpful.
Yeah, and Jones is really starting to emerge as one of the top backs. Yeah,
he's a stud, man. What a good receiver he is.
Receiver and running, yeah.
The so little fun fact for you, John. I know this would be close to your heart. What do you think the lowest price is for a ticket to that game? It's Green Bay at Los Angeles. Cheapest seats in the house. How much do you think they are right now on StubHub?
Is it still the StubHub Center, or they changed the name? I think it's $20.
Dignity Health Sports Car Spark.
Yeah, they changed the name. $20 bucks?
$359.
That's the cheapest, wow.
That's the cheapest. You know why?
Because Packer fans.
It's not going to be a lot of Charger fans there. Yeah. If you thought the Steelers were bad, wait till you get a load of the Pack. So it's going to be like a road game for poor Philip Rivers, like a big-time road game. $359. Wow. By comparison, Pats at Baltimore, $166 is your next highest.
I failed on the Price is Right. Yeah, so a lot of Wisconsinites took a nice vacation. Good for them.
Absolutely. So, John, that's about what I got right now.
Good.
A little late in the week, so I just wanted to hit a couple of the big games, talk a little yak with you.
Wait, Roger, we got to get we have a big event tomorrow. We have to get your crack for the top two fights. We have to get your crack UFC picks. Our own Vinny Vegas, Calvin, is going to bet the house on your picks. So,
all right, Calvin.
Top two fights. Go spit him.
Nate Diaz. He's the more well-rounded fighter. I think it's a real tough fight for Masvidal to win. Diaz, volume striker. Diaz, big advantage on the ground. He's faster. Masvidal knocks people out. Diaz doesn't really get knocked out. I think it's going to be very exciting. I think they're gonna really go out of their way to give us a good show. But I think Diaz is the winner there. And Gastelum Till, that's the other one you want?
Yes, sir.
Gastelum all day. I think it's a kind of a bad matchup for Till. He looked a little chinny, obviously, against Jorge. Took a big shot there. Got knocked out. Gastelum's elite. I know he gave the style bender all he wanted. He's he's trouble making weight sometimes, but he's a great fighter. I just think he's a better fighter than Till, and I think he's going to knock Till out. Third round knockout.
Beautiful. I'm a UFC novice. I'm just going to go enjoy the fights. But I will make one guarantee. Masvidal's fight will last longer than his last one.
Hey, that's it. You know, I was in the house for that one, too.
Poor Askren. He hasn't. I don't think he's had the desire to fight since then.
He fought. He lost again. Did you see? Last weekend. He fought in Singapore. He fought Damian Maia in Singapore. The UFC's not doing him any favors with the competition. Damian Maia is the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy in the whole UFC. So Askren took him down, and Maia tapped him out, unfortunately for Askren. So, John, you have any shows you're doing here while I look up the other ones?
We'll get into it next week. I think me and you are doing a different sister podcast.
Yes, and I'll talk about that. So let me tell you everything we got going on here at Place to Be Nation. First of all, on the Pop feed, we have our weekly shows. Scott Criscolo and Jason Sherman prep for Halloween and pay tribute to Friday the 13th with this Crystal Lake Memories special. Hard-traveling fanboys continue their annual Walking Dead month with the new Long Book Hunters, discussing The Walking Dead Volume 5. DC4U delivers an in-depth look at the current events from this month. As always, myself and Mr. D'Amato will bring you all the exciting news from the NFL on This Week in the NFL. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. On episode 21, they bring you The Office, Season 3, Episodes 15 and 16. On the latest episode of The Great Debate, Andy welcomes Nate Milton, Peter Winson, and my main man, Matt Souza, to discuss a variety of topics in sports and pop culture. On our newest show, Diamond Conversations, the second episode features an interview with former New York Mets minor league pitching prospect T.J. Chisholm. John, who is our who is hosting Diamond Conversations? Do you know?
I believe Mr. Antonelli.
All right, cool. On the latest episode of Laugh-In Theater, Andy is joined by Mirandia to live watch the 1988 comedy Beetlejuice. That's a good one. Greatest sitcom of all time tournament is starting soon. Make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single matchup. And, John, I believe I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to mention it again. We lobbied, and we were successful in getting Sledgehammer into the tournament. And, God damn it, Sledgehammer better advance in that first round. So I'm saying it everywhere. If you like our show, you vote for Sledgehammer, because what does he say, John? What does he say?
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Sledgehammer, take it home.
And I got to apologize, Kyle, but you asked about the Diamond Conversations. It's Chad B. is the host.
Got it. Thank you.
The first episode was with Matt Antonelli, a former major leaguer, and this one was T.J. Chisholm. So check that one out.
Nice. Sorry for putting you on the spot there. I was just curious myself. Check out our brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, and lots of fun new content. Over at the wrestling feed, we dive back inside the vault as Parv and Chad deliver a review of Great American Bash 1988 in this classic edition of Where the Big Boys Play. Wrestling Warzone is back, and JT and Chad are breaking down the week that was January 29th, 1996 in the Monday Night Wars. On Main Event 136, Scott, Nate, and Steve talk about the big recent events from New Japan and Impact Wrestling. Row 1, Seat 1, number 26. Ben hosts actor John Keating for an in-depth interview about his wrestling fandom, career, and life in L.A. The latest episode of Talkin' WCW has Jenny, Tim, and Greg discussing the man called Sting as they delve into the three distinct eras of the icon's illustrious WCW career. On the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott deliver their 9th annual Halloween Spooktacular. They kick things off with a spoiler-filled discussion about the Netflix Marvel Universe. Then they are joined by myself, the cowboy, Roger Morissette, Andy Atherton, and Matt Souza for a live watch of the legendary Tyson vs. Douglas world title boxing match from 2-11-90. I would strongly encourage you guys to listen to that. It was a lot of fun to do. And little sneak preview, I am going to be starting a new boxing podcast, boxing historical watch podcast, where we will watch a live watch an old match and have some guests on and talk through that stuff. So
yeah, that's John, terrific. I listened to that. That was great. And with you, you Maddie, and why don't you ask Mr. Chris Cole to be your co-host? He's an expert. He's an expert in the pugilism.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna probably mix it up, John. You know, but Scott will definitely be on. Maybe yourself. We're thinking Matt. You know, Greg
I'm
Phillips.
I'm not much of a boxing expert. I just like entertainment, much like with the wrestling. I don't overanalyze. I just like.
You can be the color guy. You know, I don't mind being play by play. You want to be my I'll be Summerall. You're Madden. It's all good.
Boom bang. I got the telestrator.
On the latest PTBN Extreme three-way dance, JT, Mr. D'Amato, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of ECW Hardcore TV from May 1994. That was a fun one to do, right, John?
Yes, and we keep them coming. We got another one coming.
Don't forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. But don't forget about veteran columns. Like every Wednesday, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web and Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crossland have their weekly Campus Hot Takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Catch their weekly column every Wednesday afternoon. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. And it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN at no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our greatest wrestler ever pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Whew. So much stuff, John. It's always a little difficult for me to get it all out. How'd I do that time?
Not bad. I can't wait till your boxing part. I will when you do an episode on professional athletes that turn to boxing. I'll be on that one.
Mickey
Rourke. We could talk about Too Tall Jones. Athletes. We could talk about Too Tall Jones' first fight. Yeah.
Can who else? So Ed Too Tall Jones and there were others.
Yeah, that'll be a topic of one of your episodes, sure.
Absolutely, John. Whatever you need.
See, we're motivating you, man. Yeah.
I think we could have you on, too, for maybe Holyfield Bo, where the guy fucking landed in the ring on the parachute.
Oh, my God, yes. Michael Sir, I forget what the guy's name was.
You know the guy, but... you know his first name. I didn't know that.
No, Michael Sergio was the guy that parachuted. You don't want to hear this. Game six versus Yankees, Mets, Red Sox. That was Michael Sergio. But the guy that landed on the thing. Oh my God! Security beat the crap out of him when he landed on that.
Oh, the Bo Holyfield one.
Yeah,
it wasn't even security. It was like Bo's buddies kicked his ass. Yeah.
that guy took a worse beating.
They took him to the woodshed. They took him out to the fucking corner. Oh man! All right, great show, John. As always, it's always a pleasure.
Our loyal listeners,
no bye weeks. We're here for you. This will be posted quick. As I always say, please reach out to us, and we will have you on. We'll answer your questions. We'll give you a shout out. We love talking football. We can't wait for the UFC. We'll give you a little rundown of that when we get back next week. John, can't wait to see you tomorrow night, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm the cowboy, and I'm out of here.
All right.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.